Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We are talking about some lessons we've learned from 2017, and joining us today is Mike Rowe, the head football coach at Ricori High School in Minnesota. And Coach is going to be joining us at the National Conference. We'll talk a little bit about his topic at the end of the show. But Coach, we're excited to have you back here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Keith. Always love to talk football with you.
Coach, we talked a little bit about what you learned this season, and I think you have some interesting ideas here to share with us. And the first one really involved the importance of fundamentals. And one of the guys you're going to be hearing a lot from in 2017 at USA Football is Scott Peters, who's a former NFL player and expert really in contact on both sides of the ball, blocking, defeating blocks. And so we've brought Scott in to do some things. But one of the things that Scott talks about in football is that we actually compared to something like MMA, which he was involved in, the fighting arts, that those guys drill and work on their skills way more than we work on our individual skills in football. In fact, for us, when you look at all the things we do over the course of a season, it involves about 2-3% of our time at the highest levels. We might spend a little bit more time at the high school level and even the college level, but it's a small percentage of what we're working on. And you discovered really something about the importance of fundamentals as you've looked back on your season, but also as you watch the state championship game. So Coach, talk to us a little bit about what you've learned there.
Everyone talks about traditional linemen and, you know, you got to win the line of scrimmage. Well, how do you go about that? And I know, like, our program, I think we do a tremendous job in our summer months and our early two-a-day months. And even to the midpoint of the year, we really do a good job of handling the fundamentals of those positions, keeping pad level down and really keeping tabs on it. But as the year kind of wears on and you get darkness a lot quicker and time is at a premium and you don't want to beat up your kids as much, I think we start to taper back those things that are so important to us. We worry more about how are we going to scheme this team to beat them. But really, it should be, how are we going to win the line of scrimmage? How are we going to, you know, keep our pad level down and win and do those things? And they will help evolve us. And this year, you know, we had a terrific football season, that district champs and section champs, and then ended up falling two games short from getting to the state championship. And the team ultimately that we lost to was the state champion. And so they were very fundamentally sound in that game to a point that we were moving so slow, it seemed like, where they were having terrific get off and pad levels low. And we were much bigger and thought that we'd have an advantage at the line of scrimmage. And I think by probably worrying more about how are we going to scheme them, we cost ourselves an opportunity to win a game by just being not spending enough time working on those line of scrimmage things, those things that probably got us and propelled us to that point.
Coach, obviously those things are very important to us. And I think what, you know, I'm excited about here is what we're doing with USA Football in 2018 is we have a system of fundamental skills and drills, skill development to help coaches out with a lot of those things, and very innovative. It's a performance-based system. We're going to share more of that at our national conference. So I think that'll be a guy you enjoy seeing is Scott Peters. We're going to have a guy there talking about game planning as well, Andrew Coverdale. But you and I mentioned as we were talking here, game planning and how that's changed, especially in terms of how we share that with our players and their engagement with the game plan. So for what used to be, you know, think before the huddle days, maybe a packet they would get or a 10 or 15 minute meeting before practice to try to help them understand the game plan. Now we can interact with them even more and get them more involved, especially on their devices, their phones.
Yeah, exactly. And with huddle being able to, or all the video different tools out there, you're able to create playlists and diagram and put notes in. Like, we don't really even do film breakdown where we bring our kids in on a Saturday to do it anymore. We just actually, our coaches go through their position group film, and then they send them a document and then they, and it has the clips, what play number, and they can go in and evaluate themselves. And then we have little coaching points that we put in there. So we still probably put in the same amount of time, but our kids are doing it on their own, which gives them some time and gives them some time with their family, which is great. And then other things that we do is creating our game plans on a Google Doc or a Microsoft 360 form and embedding video of our opponent and asking questions and getting that feedback from our kids and doing some of our goal setting where you have all that data collected and then you're able to share that at your Monday meeting when you give them their hit sheet, their paper copy of things like these are the things that you guys stated. And so it kind of gets things moving and saves us as a staff time. We're able to work on it as we need to, which gives us time with family, which kind of, I think if you have a happy life, everything else clicks, you know, because we know the grind of the football season. And then like the last thing too is how you self-scout yourself, being able to plug in your data after the games or during the games and get that self-scout of yourself so you're able to correct things. How many times have we run this play? What do we need to counter that? And so those things are some great, great concepts that I think coaches are starting to use more and more.
Coach, I'm really interested in what you're doing with Google Docs. And I think the beauty of a lot of the technology we have out there today is it's accessible to everybody because it's free or low cost. Talk to us a little bit more about the quizzes you're creating and what those look like for your players.
Generally, it starts off, we put in some photos, we snap, we do some screen capture stuff of some base things that their defense does. And so we'll ask our kids general questions like, what front are they playing? Best linebacker, safety. We ask general questions of them to make sure that they're watching the film. And then we get into where we capture video and then put it up into a YouTube unlisted piece. And then we embed those in there. And so for our linemen, for instance, we'll put in their top three blitzes and get those and draw them up so they can see what it looks like and then watch the video so that they can do those things. And then generally we have like some questions of technique things that they can respond to. So we try to make it as interactive, but also allow us as a staff to collect data. Because sometimes we may ask a question and we'll be like, wow, they don't really understand. We've done a poor job of making them understand what the front is or slanting and angling. Then it gives us the ability at practice that we can go and review those things.
On the coach side of things, obviously, it's important to have a workflow for that so that you guys are efficient with what you're doing. Because I know in getting into that, you obviously have to be very organized in how you present it to the players. But obviously, you can't put all that work on one guy. So how have you broken up the workflow amongst your staff to be able to put together an interactive piece like this for your players?
Yeah, so the main piece of a lot of the base generic stuff as offensive coordinator and head coach, I handle that chunk of it. Our offensive line coach will handle the piece of blitzes and stunts. He'll go through, tag those, and then create that stuff. And then our secondary coach will handle the kind of the down and distant tendencies and then the coverages that we may see. And the reason he probably does the tendencies more because we see a lot of, because of our tempo and things that we do, a lot of base coverages. We don't see a lot of fancy coverages there. We usually see a quarters or a man or those types of things. So we're able to split that workload. And then our defensive staff does the same thing, run blocking scheme, D-line, pass scheme, our defensive secondary, and then our defensive coordinator handles all the tendency stuff and breakdown for that.
So you guys have a very organized, I guess, checklist of things that are going to go into that report, and you're able to say, hey, this is what we want for our players every week.
Yeah, and you know, when we come together and meet, we kind of, what are our top priorities? And we try to prioritize because we know we're not going to get everything, and we know our kids aren't going to absorb everything. But, you know, when it comes down to it, can we stop their top three run plays? Can we stop their top three pass plays, make them go deeper into their playbook in those things? And I think if we are able to do that as a staff and make our kids understand that, we're generally very successful.
And so the other thing, I guess the question I have, obviously, is their engagement with huddle. Because something like this obviously provides some very directed learning. I think back at the advent of huddle, and we could put the film room in everybody's hand, You know, we would just assign playlists, which honestly isn't probably the best way to do it. To me, it was always like I equated it to, here, go read this chapter. Maybe you're going to learn it, maybe you're not. How much do you assign playlists now? Or is that something now that's kind of done after as support?
Yeah, that's more, we'll have our playlists that we put in and question them, little snapshots of our opponent in our quizzes, but then we'll go through playlists after practice. So our defense meets in the morning and they'll go through, so their Monday morning might be top run plays, and then they'll talk about that and how we're going to defend that. So we try to just tie that together. And then for us, we'll talk offensively after practice, even though we've covered some of it on the field, but we'll go through first and second down concepts, how they should align, and then we show snaps the best that we can with film. The nice thing is our district is an open library, so even though they might have played an IBAC team the week before, we can drag and find spread teams and show those clips that are more relevant to ours, so we're not necessarily guessing what our opponent's going to do.
Yeah, that's always the challenge when you get a film exchange, is that you have those games like you're struggling to find, what do we know? What can we say with for certain this is how they align against things? Because maybe you're facing a team that does completely different things than you. So I think that's obviously an advantage that you guys have that kind of setup for you, that you can take a peek at whatever you need to find out and get those answers for yourself.
Yeah, I think like coaches used to be so secretive about their film. It was like so sacred, like, but now like everybody shares everything, so it's out there. So I think it's just, yeah, why not? Let's just share it all and make it whatever staff is better at preparing. That's what it should come down to, you know, prepare your kids to win the game, and shouldn't be like, ooh, we tricked you kind of thing. It's like, hey, who's got the best processes and procedures to prepare for their opponent, and who can get that information out to their kids?
And I think it's the first thing you hit on too, is that fundamentally, you have to be sound. We obviously live in a day and age where execution is at a premium. It's not like maybe, you know, 10 years ago when you're meeting a guy at a gas station somewhere in between your two cities to exchange a stack of VHS tapes and then going through that long process with them, and no internet really sharing those kinds of things. So people are going to see what you do regardless. And it goes back to what you said before, that you really got to be fundamentally sound, that knowing those things are okay, having a great game plan is okay, but if you don't have the fundamentals to execute it, you're going to run into some problems.
Yeah, exactly. And when you talk about that and the stuff that USA Football does offhand, we really did all the coursework on the tackling this year with that program, and really emphasized how you guys broke down the shoulder tackle technique and the drills that you use. And we did those throughout the course of the season. And I think when you talk about fundamentals, how well our team tackled, and I think having that nice procedural checklist like USA Football is doing really helps coaches out, because sometimes we get away from that. But when we can visually see how to do it and go back and remind ourselves by watching a little clip or a video of it, it really helps the coaches out.
Yeah, and that's something, I guess, to give a sneak preview of things to come. Our next system we call the contact system, and specifically, you won't understand the name now, but it'll become evident as we release this. We call it the tip of the spear contact system. And we teach not just, I think coaches, when you say blocking, they kind of tune out because my blocking's specific to me because of the schemes we run, etc. Well, what we've been able to do with Scott Peters is identify the things that are kind of agnostic of scheme, meaning that your body needs to be in this position in an optimal way to execute a block or to defeat a block, whether you're on the line of scrimmage or in space. So we've broken those fundamentals down, just like we did the hawk tackle, shoulder tackle, and that's what we're going to have for all coaches in 2018. Really excited about what the system can do for the game of football in general. So that'll be something that you'll get to see at National Conference firsthand, and we're going to have available digitally to coaches as well.
And that'll be awesome. I know if it's like the shoulder tackle stuff, or even better, the way you're talking about it, it's going to be a great thing for coaches.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, safety obviously is one of the things that we always talk about on this podcast. It's always one of the concerns of coaches, and it's something that really you guys addressed through your in-season training and some of the prehab things that you did, and you expressed to me that you had some great results from that too. Share with our listeners what you guys did in that regard.
the one thing is we were seeing kind of an uptick in, and then like everybody probably in the country, you get the concussions, and then is that going to affect your numbers and concerns like that? So we really researched hard. We use USA Football as a resource. We use a few training. We talked to some college coaches and trainers that way, and we kind of came up with a way that we could make it happen. And so we went back to a lot of old school neck strengthening activities, really working the neck and the back of the shoulder muscles and trying to build that thick tree trunk like neck with our guys. But then we were also stretching it before and after practice, really taking some of those things out of their stiffness and soreness with our guys. And then when we in season train, so during our season, we lift two mornings a week. And so when we're doing that, we were emphasizing the neck as the beginning activities that we would do. So we kind of made it the emphasis where as a program, you might make the bench, the squat, the clean, the beginning priorities. We made the neck as our number one. And then we would do our other core lifts after that. So like every kid was getting the same thing at their peak or freshness level, not at the end of the lift. And so by doing that, we really, our kids even commented how few concussions our team had. I think we had 5 this year. So not completely eliminated, but very low and all minor in the scheme of how they were diagnosed, but none during game action, which was even better. And then the other things we did is a lot of prehab for our hamstring and lower back type areas for our guys, our glutes and all that stuff, by some static and some different lifts in the auxiliary end. And that really helped our guys not break down their body. So instead of lifting super hard, we were more circuit training, but we concentrated on certain areas of the shoulder, certain areas like the hamstring. And by doing that, it really prevented our injuries. And this year we played a lot of guys both ways, which is a little bit uncommon for us, but we were able to keep those guys healthy throughout the year, which was huge for us.
And Coach, that's part of the solution to obviously player safety is having them ready to play physically as well as mentally. And I applaud you for all those things that you shared with us. I think those are some important things to help this game be better. Fundamentals, sharing game planning ideas with your players, increasing their football IQ, and then obviously physically addressing some of those things and being out in front of it and doing some things that are going to help them prevent injuries. So great job on that this season. Coach, as you look back at things and reflect personally, yourself as a coach, you know, with all the things you do, whether it's handling your players, your staff, etc., from a personal standpoint as a coach, what do you look back on the season, reflect on, and say, this is my takeaway from this past season?
It's what relationships did I build with my kids, because they're not going to come there and run through a brick wall every day for me if I'm not caring for them. And I really think how my staff handled our athletes and how I handled them this year, we really got closer to our kids. And every year we strive to get better at that. But it really like seemed like our football family was really, really tight. And I guess that's why I felt like expectations were super high, because generally if your team really cares for each other, good things are going to happen on that field, because they're going to do everything. They're going to do the extra stuff, watch the film, work hard in the weight room in the summer. And those things were great. And with my staff, I think we've grown, you know, we've been together 9 years now, our total staff, and just how we've evolved and not settled, even though we've had a lot of success. We continue to find better answers for things that maybe we aren't doing better. And I like that about how we keep continually striving to be the best team that we can be, so we don't fall back to how our program was before we all got here.
We have a great event coming up here in January. We're excited about our national conference, which is attended by over 1,000, expected here in 2018, January 26th through 28th in Orlando, Florida. And we have just a great lineup of guys, and you're part of the group that's contributed to the total. But as of right now in our recording, we have accumulated in our high school speakers 87 state championships. So we're talking about a group of guys who has been able to get to, at some point in their career, get to the top. which obviously is very difficult to do. So we're excited to have you there. We're excited about our lineup. We have guys from the college level like Chad Morris from the NFL, Mike Singletary, Chris Carter, and others. We have Brian Kite, who's going to be doing two sessions for us there, speaking on culture, and he's partnered with us at USA Football to offer two great courses. You could get those at focus3.training/USA football. It's his R factor course, which is based on his equation E plus R equals O, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, and another course called Lead Now. And the best part is he offers those usually at $249 a piece, and through USA Football, you could get those for 50% off, so $249 for two courses that total, I think, 5 hours of material. Just a great opportunity for you to build your culture and leadership within your team from one of the guys who is working with the top college programs in the country, working with the NFL and then Fortune 500 companies. So we're really excited to have them there, and we're excited to have you. So, Coach, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be speaking about in your X and O session.
During my session here, I'm going to start off by talking about two-point plays and the benefits and kind of why recorded football has kind of gone that way instead of kicking extra points, and be a lot of fun stuff that they'll see. It also helps you kind of practice your trick plays a little bit, because in the high school level, if you throw a pick on them, they can't return them or anything. So it allows us to kind of keep football fun and do that way. But it's also helped us over the course of the last 6 years win a lot of football games and take teams out of their comfort zone where they might have a good kicker and we take him out of the game because we're going to go for two when we score. And then the other part that I'm going to talk about is using the shifting and motioning, which is kind of a hot topic, and how we do that in the spread no huddle and how we're able to gain advantages and get defenses miss the line and pick up some big chunk plays in the run and the pass game.
Well, Coach, I'm really excited to see you in Orlando. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you down there in January. I'm sure you'll be glad to get out some of that Minnesota snow at that point in the winter.
Yeah, I know. I had to pick up a ticket for my wife too. I'm like, here, there's a nice spa here at this convention center. So why don't you just get out of this? Yeah, like this week it's cold finally. It's been pretty nice, but how's the weather for you currently?
Well, I'm in Cleveland right now. We were snowing yesterday. I think today it's sunny, but it's one of those sneaky cold days. You walk out there and we're in the 20s. So
it looks nicer than it is.
Absolutely. I'll enjoy the Florida weather at that point too. But Coach, it's always great to talk ball with you here. And we're excited that you're involved with us at USA Football.
Yeah, super excited. Thanks for including me in this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.